Dyads need some understanding, or you're going to use them all wrong. In meditation is not just the passiveness that we know of in our sitting, where we're being quiet and allowing everything to arise as it arises. There's a dynamic to meditation, which follows the lead of the heart. Remember that the heart is compelling. It does not like limitations. And when we feel limitation, it senses it. It says, God, something's going on here. What's going on here? That's the beginning of inquiry. Inquiry is taking that question from its intellectual proposition. The heart can't speak. It just feels. The mind interprets that as, what's going on here? That's a speak. So we follow the mind speak back to the quietude of where that question is pointing. So it might be that I feel, just staying in the same line of discourse that I was giving, I feel that there's a pattern in me arising that's creating a distance from someone I love, my wife or whatever. And, you know, I can continue in that pattern and play it out and just let it go after a while and do everything that most of us do all the time. Or I can figure out, because the pattern doesn't go away, the instructions I was given very early in my training about judgment is just say judgment, judgment, judgment. So I was doing that all day long. But it didn't change the momentum of judgment. So why is it that I'm judging? You see, I want to know why does judgment keep coming? You see, you can already feel the passion of the heart. Like, what's going on here? Why does judgment persist? It's not good enough just to say judging, judging, judging. Oh, now it's gone away. Good, thank goodness. Oh, judging, judging. It's not, you know, like, why am I judging? And so let's just say you take that question on, and so when judgment arises, you go to that place where the judgment is, and you see that you want to bring somebody's head down so you can raise your head because you're feeling bad about yourself. So it's a teeter-totter. So judgment is, oh, good, now I feel better, right? Because I can condemn you while praising me, or just allowing myself not to be condemned. So, okay, so then you go, okay, so there's something going on here psychologically that keeps, there's a pattern of something I'm saying about myself that keeps me feeling bad about myself that leads to me putting other people down, so that's why judgment's arriving. You see how this is? Then you go, okay, so what's that pattern? There's another inquiry. So when the judgment comes up, you see that you're feeling bad about yourself, that what you're saying is, there's something wrong with me. Or whatever it is that you're saying, I'm inadequate, I'm no good, or whatever. It's usually something like that. And you say, okay, so that pattern contains all of judgment, really. So now I'm going to take root that pattern, because it's just thought, just emotion, it's just conditioning. I'm going to root that thing out, so then there won't be any more judgment. See? Are you following this? Some of you look very grim. This is not this is not grim to me. This is like uplifting. I guess I can't really get you. Trust me, it's uplifting. Anyway, the discovery, it's like a breakthrough. It's like discovering general relativity or space-time or something. I mean, it's like that. It's like, oh, wow, it's like an insight. Well, that's what it is. But the insights have that joy. That's what I'm saying. So it's not glum work. It's not depressing work. It's very uplifting. And the heart just, it gets. I want to know. It sounds like I want to know, but really, it wants to be free. That's what the real expression of it is. But as that percolates through the mind, it's like, I want to know what's going on here. So that's what dyads are, because most of us don't have, haven't learned the skill towards inquiry, that it remains latent in us but not utilized. And so dyads are an effort to stimulate that sense of inquiry in us. It's two people getting together, not socially. In fact, you can both keep your eyes closed. When one asks the other a question, that's the questioner, and the answer then says whatever feels the correct response to that question. And then quieting down and letting the experience of where that question lands be the answer to it. And so one question is usually worldly or mundane, and then the next question takes you deeper into the spiritual, where you have to go to a deeper level within yourself in order to answer that. It's not an intellectual exercise. It's not just, what's the right answer? There's no right answer to this. It's where your awareness takes you in terms of the inquiry of that question. And so then you go back and forth, 5 minutes where you're a questioner and 5 minutes where you're the responder, and then you switch roles and all of that. So that's what, and it's done gently. You don't hammer the question home. You ask it, the questioner asks it, like, what, you know, where are you right now? Well, I'm at home wishing I could see whatever, or whatever, whatever comes up. And then the next question, the deeper one might be, where are you really right now? Or what, in essence, where are you right now? Now all of a sudden you go, oh, in essence. You see, if you're with me, suddenly you're not discoursing with yourself. You're below the level of thought, in essence. Now the question is asking you to abide there, not just go there and speak it. Just like that. Yeah? Okay, so pair up. You don't have to know the person, and it's not a social exercise. You may never meet the person again, okay? Or you may, I don't know, but just pair up. It doesn't matter. Male, female, gender doesn't matter. Okay, I'll lead you through the introduction. You don't have to tell life stories at the moment. Okay, so there's either one extra or we're even. These are binaries here. You're an extra. Is there another extra? There's an extra. Okay. So now we've got everybody even, right? Okay, great. So now, in a word or two, just introduce yourself to the person, like socially, just so you'll know who you're sitting across from. In a word or two. Somewhere are my, there they are. Okay. So between the two of you, you're both going to have each role. So between the two of you, decide who's going to be the responder and who's going to be the questioner. It doesn't make any difference because you're going to switch roles. Okay. So responder, questioner, end. Bill Joyce, end. Okay, so let's just keep this non-social, because if you start thinking socially, it brings up different, I don't want all that stuff like social anxiety and I have to fill in the blanks and all. Don't do that. This is not about that. This is about your inquiry, stimulating that component of meditation that takes you deeper than just the superficial. That's what this is about. Okay, so questioner, all right? The way you ask the question is really important as to how it's going to be received. So very gently pose the question that I will give you. And responder, you can keep your eyes, each of you can keep your eyes closed the whole time, or you're not, or whatever, it doesn't matter. You don't have to have there's no correct response there. It's just wherever you land, it feels like the appropriate thing to say regarding the question you were just asked. And then after the response, the questioner asks the same question, doesn't deviate from the same question, no matter what the response is. So just keep asking the same question, gently. Not as if you made a mistake the first time, I'm giving you a second chance. Just gently asking the second time, okay. And then the responder, sometimes the responder will be so deep within him or herself that the response is stillness, and that's fine. So you two sit together, and even while you're sitting together, it's only going to last 5 minutes, so there's not going to be all this, should I say something stuff, okay? Okay, so questioner, here's your question. What problem is your mind creating in this moment? Gently, because you don't want this to be a judgment, right? What problem, because we all have it, what problem is your mind creating in this moment? Okay, begin. Okay, just be quiet for a second. Just being quiet together. Be aware of if there's any storm of judgment that arises from the responder's mind, or even the questioner's mind. Oh, did I, you know, that sort of self-ambiguity about whether you got it right or all that, or what does the person think of you, all of that stuff, that's all good material. Okay, we're going to switch questioner as now the responder and responder the question. We're going to use the same question. What problem is your mind creating in this moment? And begin as you wish. Okay, just being quiet now. So I want to speak just a moment about the questioner. You are representing, much as a therapist does for the person who is being the patient or the client, you're representing a listening and attentiveness that allows a complete non-judgmental response coming from your client. And the client knows whether there's any pressure there within how you're framing that question or not. And so to be a pure questioner, you really want to come from your heart and say the question really completely innocent, with innocence. What problem are you creating in this moment? And then pay attention to the response. Don't let your mind know, I don't care what she says or he says. No, just listen. Listen. Pay that attention. This, you're not alone. You're never in isolation. Never. Ever. Not just now. Ever. Now, when we don't understand how interconnected everything is to each other, to all of us, and it all has an impact on everything. So let your listening, your attentiveness, and the innocence of your question be part of that reciprocity. Okay, so now we go to a deeper question. So questioner, back to questioner, the first questioner, and responder the same. Here is the second question. What remains when there is no problem to solve? What remains when there is no problem to solve? Now, just let's see where that takes you, both of you. Okay, begin as you wish. Okay, just being quiet together. So let me just say that this is an exercise to help train our mind towards inquiry, towards help train it so that it becomes interested in itself and will ask appropriate questions of itself to expose the answers so we can move on beyond the limitations that that boundary asserts. So eventually we have to do this alone. And so paying the right attention to our questions, asking appropriate individuated questions, I can't give you questions. These questions might not work for you at all, but you have questions that do work. And paying the right attention to those questions with sincerity, and then the listening that's required as you expose the answer. Because that's what you do, you just expose it through the innocence of the question. So if you demand yourself, it won't work. All right, so changing roles, same question. What remains when there is no problem to solve? Begin. Now just being quiet. So the quiet honors what just transpires, so let yourself feel that gratitude for yourself, for the person you've accompanied. Joined much more deeply than we might imagine. So thank the other person with just this. And then turn your chairs around. Okay, so we're going to take, I just want to talk to you a little bit. And then we'll take a break, and then we'll come back, and then we'll have a last period will be question and answers for you to me, or dialogue, or whatever you'd like to do during that time. So I won't give a formal talk, but we'll. But I just, so I'd like to ask honest opinion whether those of you who think you're understanding what inquiry is, would you raise your hand? Those of you who feel like you need more practice in inquiry, would you raise your hand? That's okay, that's fine. Those of you who get the point of why inquiry is so important to spiritual growth, would you raise your hand? Okay, good. I at least feel like I'm doing something useful for you. And that, it's hard because some teachers have said to me, in fact, oh, you can't teach inquiry. I think I can teach inquiry. You just have to have the right way of doing it. And it, one thing, it has, the tone of one's voice is so important. See, what I really want to impart is your independence. These questions are not my questions for you, although they were today. They're your questions. Those are the ones that are most poignant and will have your passion. Those are the ones that you wanted to find out because your heart just, it's like that. Said in the nicest way, it's ruthless. It will go anywhere to get over limitation. And when you start feeling that, because when you encourage it for through inquiry, it grows in ruthlessness, in the best sense of that word. Not going to stop anywhere. And it's you, not me. You're not dependent upon scripture. You're not dependent upon ideology. You're not dependent upon teacher. You're not dependent. Now you can walk out of here and that's it. Those two expressions of meditation, the quietude of silent observation, we're just seeing. And then feeling something, oh, what about, just, and that usually comes in a more interactive way. And so inquiry can be done on the road, so to speak. And the beauty of it is it grows in intensity and depth as your practice matures, grows, steadies itself. All the things we've been talking about today become stabilized, centered, and you'll find what accompanies that is sincerity. And what accompanies sincerity is inquiry. And so it just keeps, those muscles keep exercising themselves. I don't want you dependent upon me or any teacher. That's the worst kind of teaching, dependency. None of that. This is for each one of us. Alone, doesn't mean you don't have teachers. It just means you don't depend upon those for your salvation. Okay.